right, welcome everybody to Real Freedom, and we've got another Real Freedom story to share. Today we've got Vlad Katz here, and he's going to talk about his journey towards financial freedom and really share with you a lot about how he thinks about how he's spending his time, what he's spending his time on, and what he's doing with his money too. So Vlad, welcome. And if you want to just start by sharing a little bit about your background for those folks that don't know you, so they can understand more about who you are.
Yeah, Mike, of course. Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my story with your listeners. Like, really excited to be here. So thanks, brother. So a little bit about me. Born and raised in the former Soviet Union, my parents, myself, my sister, immigrated here to the United States in 1991. You know, grew up in Baltimore, Maryland. Went to school down in Southern Maryland at a little school called St. Mary's College, majored in economics, got like the best job that I thought I could have after college. Like in college, Mike, I wanted to save the world. I was one of those people. I'm like, dude, I'm like make a difference. So I want the job in like the biggest organization possible that deals with like international econ, et cetera. And of course, I got it. It was the United States government. I did foreign labor relations. I was an economist for the Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, did some really cool stuff, met some really cool people, traveled around the world, et cetera. And then I got, I don't know about you or your listeners, then I got like really bored after about 5 years. So like my life sometimes goes in these like 5 year cycles. And it's, I got really bored and I said, okay, what am I going to do with my life? Because I saw that I was just not making no difference. It's not making that difference. So I enrolled in business school at University of Maryland, got my MBA, came out. A buddy of mine was starting a technology company at that time. Globalization was like all over the place. And, you know, we had some connections back in the former Soviet Union. And so we started a software development outsourcing company, United Power Tech. Did that for a little bit. Then the real estate boom came in and I jumped full in into the real estate market after I sold off my interest in United Power Tech and started flipping houses in the west side of Baltimore. You know, it was looking back at it, it was, you know, kind of a blast. Mm-hmm. The market was hot. Yeah. I mean, we created a system. My partners and I created a system and we were just, you know, we're just buying, rehabbing, selling. And of course, market crashed. I got my real estate license right before that, just like I'm sure most real estate agents or many real estate agents to cut out the middleman. Yeah, the market turning in 2006, 2007 was something. And it happened right before my eyes and I didn't even see it coming. And adjusted very quickly, got into distressed sales. Started a short sale processing company, built a short sale sales team. We were number one short sale team in the state of Maryland, doing well over 100 short sales each and every year. Then, you know, a little company called Keller Williams came into town and they started courting me. And I realized that, you know, my leadership needed to go to the next level in order for me to grow. I realized that I wanted to be a part of something bigger, something better. And so I was a part of a core group that launched Keller Williams Legacy in Pikesville, Maryland, right outside of Baltimore. And then a few months after our launch, I already, what we would call seventh level, my team at that point. So I was, again, kind of bored. And I said, you know what? Team leader is the role. It has the word team and it has the word leader in it. How can you go wrong with that, man?
Yeah.
Right. And so yeah. I stepped into that role and, you know, built a recruiting team, recruiting machine, a retaining machine. I mean, we did some really cool stuff. One of the things was we took that market center from about 50 agents to 400 in less than 3 years. Legacy became the fastest growing real estate office in the KW system. It became number one real estate office in the entire state of Maryland within 3 years of opening doors. I mean, we were profitable. We in KW, we took the number one profit share. We got awarded number one profit share market center in our growth category. I mean, we were just having a blast. I was surrounded by really great people. Then, you know, businesses grow, and we opened up another office and then bought a third. And then, you know, I became a general manager, then stepped into an expansion world, became a partner in an expansion company, turned a company into a really profitable one. And then for the last, what, like almost since the beginning of 2020, roughly, I've been here at eXp Realty doing very similar things and helping people grow.
Okay, so Vlad, so then as you think about your future, because I know you're really wired to think about, you know, financial freedom more so than others. So as you think about financial freedom for you and your family, what does that look like for you? What is, describe that to me, what kind of that future plan looks like for you?
Yeah, thanks for that, Mike. When I think about freedom, it's like, you know, and keep in mind, as a former team leader in the previous company, you know, I met with a lot of real estate professionals. And one of the things I didn't say in my quote unquote bio is that one of the first companies I ever started was a small business consulting company. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been fascinated with what gets people to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And specifically, like when it comes to this conversation of freedom, like I bet that if you ask any small business owner or real estate professional, right, which are also small business owners, like, why do you do this? Like, why do you work? Why are you in real estate? Why are you in fill in the blank? Sooner or later, the reason, and you keep asking, like, why is that important? Why is that important? Why is that important? Sooner or later, they will say, well, I want freedom. So my assertion, Mike, is that the reason we are in business, not on this planet, but the reason we're in business is to achieve a certain level of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the really interesting thing that happens is that most of us collapse freedom with flexibility. Okay. So being able to take a 2-week vacation, okay, because you have a big team, or you can just tell your clients to wait, that's flexibility. When I talk about freedom, for me, freedom means ability to do anything at any time with anyone without any regard for financials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like without any regard to that. That's what freedom means to me when it comes to the business space. So then how do we get to that level of freedom? Well, if you read Robert Kiyosaki's work, specifically the cash flow quadrant, the freedom that I just described, and by the way, I recommend everybody define for themselves what freedom means to you. Okay? Just don't take my definition, like have an argument with yourself, have an argument with your spouse or a conversation with your spouse and figure out what freedom means to you. Okay? So if you read Kiyosaki's work, he asserts that the only true freedom comes from being in the investor quadrant when it comes to the cash flow quadrant.
Yeah.
So then for me, it becomes, okay, how do I get into the investor quadrant? Okay. And then freedom for me is tied to a number.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some Pollyanna thing.
Yep.
You know, hasn't people talk about freedom and they're like, well, what does that mean to you? It's like, oh, this and this, this is this. What do you need to get there? Oh, I don't know, man. But I'm like, you know, it's going to be like that. It's going to be like amazing. Yeah, but what does that actually look like in reality?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people don't want to figure it out because they realize it's probably harder or more than what they think, you know? And, you know, I had read recently where they talk about, you know, okay, so let's say you retire for 20 years and let's say it's you and a spouse or a significant other or whatever. For 20 years, if you factor $7 per meal for 20 years, that's over $300,000 just to eat.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think a lot of times people have this idea of freedom or, you know, the future, and they don't want to flesh out a plan because they're probably a little bit scared of what that actually means. Like they're going to come up really short. And the problem is you might as well find out now that you're short than to find out 20 years from now you're short and you can't spend $7 on a meal. You got to spend it on ramen because you came up short. So yes, it's actually putting that plan in place so that you know the number that you need to hit. It's probably a little bit humbling and a little bit sobering to think about that. And yet now you've got a plan. So you know you're not just going to get to your end of your life and realize, oh shoot, I came up short. So
It used to be that ignorance was bliss. I think that now generalization is bliss. Mm-hmm. So people love generalizing stuff rather than being real specific. So I know that you and me have been involved in a conversation, right? That, you know, the conversation that we have Freedom Fridays on Freedom Fridays or on Fridays that we call Freedom Fridays is actually about specificity when it comes to freedom. So I encourage everyone to have what I call their freedom number. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is the number. And you know, if that's all right with you, I'd like to go into what it actually is, a freedom number.
Sure. Yeah. Go
ahead. Yeah. So oftentimes, I can relate to this early on, and I'm sure that, you know, those of you who are listening or watching can relate to this. When we think of freedom, we actually think of like income or maybe even passive income. I encourage everyone to think when you're talking about freedom numbers is actually cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's because you pay for your life with cash and it has to flow in order for you to pay for your life. So once you define what does a life of freedom look like for me and my wife, it's actually really simple. When Kristen and I sat down and did this a couple of years ago, here's what came out. It was like, Mike, it occurred as too simple. Okay. Here's what freedom looks like for my wife and I in reality. It's ability to live anywhere in the world for 6 months at a time, like a king and a queen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we envision ourselves like living in Sicily, like living, not visiting, in Sicily for 6 months. Then somebody packs us up and we go to San Diego. Then from San Diego, we go to Nova Scotia, from Nova Scotia, Iceland, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Okay, like that, 6 months at a time, and being totally like zero debt. And our girls, we have three young girls, the oldest is 11, their education being fully taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like that's simple. So yeah. I actually went in and I crunched some numbers, okay, and I calculated it for us. Oh, and then have the ability to tithe at least $100,000 at any given time. So we have to have a nice provide to charity at mm-hmm. any given time. Okay. And so I calculated that for us, that number is just under $80,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's it.
Yep.
Whatever that's it means.
Yep. Just 80.
Okay. And then I just rounded up and I'm saying, you know, it's $1 million a year. But it came out to just below that. And then, you know, I said, you know, we'll just round it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then that number is rooted in some specificity rather than some kind of generalization that typically is, that's dominant in this world. Does that help? Does that answer?
Yeah. Yeah. So then let's walk back, because that's great to kind of see the end point. So, you know, looking at where you're at today, talk through some of the streams of income you have. And I know that you have a lot, and I know that you want to share too about kind of the logic behind some of those streams of income, but kind of walk us through some of those more significant ones and what that looks like and kind of your logic behind where it's going and how you plan to grow that in the future.
Yeah. So, you know, the way that I sit here right now, Mike, is I have 10 different streams of income that are coming in.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the majority of that is, you know, used to be from a business that I kind of don't own anymore, but that's a complicated thing.
Yep.
Okay. And then some of them are really small. And that's actually what I want to talk about. I think that especially in real estate right now, there is this almost like a pull to have many streams of income.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many streams of income do you have? Like, even like this conversation, I said like, oh, 10, that seems like a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's actually the right conversation or a productive conversation to be in. When you look at the most success in the world, And we're talking about financial success. So like, you know, please forgive me. Like, I know that our lives are not just about financial success. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I totally get, you know, money can't buy you love. You know, in many cases, money cannot buy you health, like, you know, or definitely peace of mind. Like, I totally get that. But just for this conversation, like, I'm just going to set all of that aside.
Yep.
Okay. Because look, when we're talking about our child going to a private school, guess how that happens? No amount of love in the world is going to get your kid into a private school for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah. So we're just talking about the financial component of life. And look, I'm here on this planet. I want to enjoy things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to enjoy things, you know, while I'm here on this ball of fire. So I think that when you study most of the success in the world, it's actually about going deep on something rather than going wide on something.
Yeah.
And so like, even as I sit here with 10 streams of income, I'm like, yeah, when I look at my life, three of those 10 have produced the level of cash flow that my family and I need. Everything else sometimes was actually a distraction. Like those streams of income, like for example, a fractional component of a title company that I owned,
mm-hmm.
like that fractional component had very little impact on actual overall picture.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation, Mike and everybody, is instead of going wide, is actually to go deep on one or two that have the ability to provide you with the cash flow to get to your freedom number.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're looking at it too as how much time does it take you to get to that level? Because, you know, there's some things where you're just a passive investor and you put down X amount of dollars, you don't have any responsibility in the day-to-day, the decision-making, and you maybe just get a check every month or a check every mm-hmm. quarter. Well, you can handle that. I mean, if it's a few thousand dollars here and there, fantastic. It's not taking any more of your time. But what you're saying is obviously the ones that involve you spending time, you have to look at what's the reward, because regardless of what you choose to spend your time on, there's a dollar per hour associated with that. And so if you're spending your time at something $100 per hour, when you could be spending your time on something else that's $200 per hour, you're costing yourself money by not putting your time in the best dollar per hour return.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. And this chase for multiple streams of income just gets people in, you know, being a squirrel, like
mm-hmm.
just going all over the place rather than sitting down and saying, what has, just like you explained, what has the best return? And then when you think about it, so look, there's the conversation about how do I make the most money? And then there's a conversation, how do I make the most money passively without it being tied to men? Because look, again, you have to uncollapse freedom and flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to uncollapse them because one will get in the way of the other. Flexibility actually gets in the way of freedom. People get used to flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just forget about why they're here. And so when you look at what are the ways to make money passively, it comes down to one thing. It comes down to investing the assets that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when somebody is working at a job, okay, like a W-2, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody's doing that, they are not investing, they're selling their asset, which is their time and skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's remove time because let's just talk about skills. So like, you know, most people, skills and knowledge. Most people, that's their number one asset is their skill and knowledge. We go to school, we learn a bunch of stuff, we become really specialized at something. Like even in real estate, what do you sell? You sell your knowledge and your skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get paid. But it's a sales. It's a sales component. It's not an investing. Investing is when you put something in and then you stop putting it in and then you get a return on that over time. So like a simple way to talk about investing is putting your money into the stock market or into Amazon. You write a check once for $1,000, depending on when you did, your investment now is worth $3,000, or it's worth, I don't know, $500, depending on when you did it, right? Mm-hmm. And yep. So it fluctuates. So money is one of the assets that we as people have. Knowledge and skill is another type of assets that we have. So then the question becomes is how do we not just sell that, but how do we invest it? Mm-hmm. How do we invest our money and how do we invest our skills and knowledge? Mm-hmm. Okay. So for me, it comes down to two things. On the financial front, there is a, you can, like I said, you can put your money into the stock market. You can also lend your money mm-hmm. and then get a return on that. When it comes to skills and knowledge, it typically comes down to some kind of a royalty conversation. So like, you know, Stephen King, mm-hmm. what does he do? He writes novels, right?
Yep.
He does it once. He hands it over to his publisher. And then what does he do?
Collects money. Promotes it as much or as little as he wants, but yeah. He's going to continue to get royalties as long as those books keep selling.
That's it. Movies are made. Books are being sold. Books are being recorded on tape. You name it. So he makes
action
money.
Figures.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what the content is. But yeah, you can put your time, do one thing and get paid multiple times for years and years to come.
Exactly.
More so than even the book itself would make.
That's it. That's yeah. it. And then, you know, for those of us who are real estate professionals, you know, investing in real estate is another option. I have mixed thoughts on whether real estate is actually a truly passive activity. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that once you have a property manager, it kind of crosses that line towards being passive. If you don't have a property manager, then it may not be passive. Mm-hmm. So it may not provide you with that freedom component mm-hmm. the way that I divide it. But again, it depends on how it fits into your definition of freedom. So those are the two ways that you either invest your money or you invest your knowledge and skills. By the way, you can sell your knowledge and skills, which is what most of us do, or you can invest it. Investing, it produces, provided that there's something to invest, can produce income over time. So how do you do that? So, you know, we are obviously, you know, in a company where your knowledge and skills, you can invest it in another human being through the revenue share program. In Keller Williams and Exit Realty also have those types of models where you can use your influence, which is another skill that stems from your knowledge and skills. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, another asset that stems from your knowledge and skills, right? That you have, which is, by the way, most agents undervalue their influence as an asset class.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. You can invest it and then get paid for it over a period of time, the same way that Stephen King gets paid for books. Mm-hmm. Another way is you can create an online course and then sell it over time. Like we were talking about Pat Flynn, right? Like one of your, I don't want to say heroes, but one of the people,
the guy who's doing it at a high level and to a large audience. Yeah.
Like he's clearly made a difference for you. So I think that we as just professionals in the business, in any business, we have to think like, okay, do I go the sales route? Nothing wrong with that. Or do I go the investment route? Or do I have a combination of the two? Because mm-hmm. today in the information age, anybody has the ability to create passive income or cash flow stemming from their knowledge, skills, and influence. How do I know that? There are YouTubers that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. There's courses that get sold on stuff that I've never heard of, like mm-hmm. potato guns. Mm-hmm. And people pay good money for that. So it's like the whole world is wide open, given the fact that we're now living in an information age. Mm-hmm. All right. Hopefully that was helpful.
Yeah. So that being said, then what are ways? So, okay. So now we've kind of talked about your mindset around how you're spending your time, how you're spending your resources. You've got this number of $1 million a year or roughly $80,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So how do you bridge that gap between where you're at today and where you want to go?
Yeah, great question. So it goes back for me personally. It's actually going to, and it hit me the other day, like last week, that it's like, I am actually not focused. Mm-hmm. So God gave me like really great ability to simplify some concepts. And I've been fairly successful in doing that for others in the real estate space.
Yep.
So my focus right now is really simple, because I see eXp as for me personally as an opportunity to create royalty income that like above and beyond what I even imagine is possible, and then turn that income into financial assets and invest them. So there's two things that I'm focusing on. Is one is growing my eXp organization. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I see that as an opportunity to make a difference for people who are in my organization or who are around me.
Okay. Yep.
And two, I see it as an active activity to create passive income streams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And look, if somebody has questions about how revenue share works or how profit share works, if it's revenue share, go to Mike. If it's profit share, go to Keller Williams. Exit also has a system as well, Exit Realty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then second thing that I'm working on right now, my second focus, is actually in the financial assets. So I studied finance when I was in grad school, okay? Mm-hmm. And in grad school, they make it way too complicated, okay? And I came out of grad school saying, like, you know what? I'm going to let, quote, unquote, the professionals manage my money. Mm-hmm. Well, lo and behold, that's not the best idea possible, provided that you understand how to manage your own money. So what I'm doing right now is actually relearning the financial management component of our lives. So I am researching equities. I found the model. I think I shared this with you before. This book is next to me all the time.
Rule number one. So for those folks that aren't watching the video, rule number one by Phil Town.
Phil Town. Yes. He's the man that simplifies investments in equities. And I'm actually in the process of moving all of my assets to TD Ameritrade so I can take control over my money, because I see that as a catalyst for all of the passive income that I earn mm-hmm. to grow without spending any of my minutes on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than the research, which, you know, I do like an hour a day right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're always reading. You're always bringing in new ideas and concepts. And then too, I like what you do is always try to simplify it, right? Because if you can't explain something in a simple way for others to understand, it's kind of pointless.
Dude, I'm so glad you brought that up. I'll tell you, like, one of the ways that I practice doing that is I do my best to explain it to my kids. Mm-hmm. So one of the conversations I just started with them, and you know, I told you and the crew is, and you actually, I think you met my middle daughter, is like, we start talking about how do they earn money passively. So like every month I sit them in front of the computer and I show them how much interest the bank paid them
mm-hmm.
and start a conversation like, look, you made 11 cents. You know, they have a couple of $100 in their bank account. You right. made 11 cents. How much work did you have to put in? And they're like, well, nothing. So this is what passive income, passive cash flow actually looks like. And then they're like, well, what is interest? I'm interested in having more interest. You know, you start those types yeah. of conversations. And look, yeah. if I can explain it to an 8-year-old
yeah.
where she's like scratching her head and like, oh yeah, I think I get it. I'm like, I feel like not only as a proud dad, but also like, huh, I explained it to an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Well, that's great too, because if you think about the financial education that they're getting, it's really going to help them in the future. You know, mm-hmm. and I think that's an issue that a lot of folks have had is they maybe didn't have some of those key pieces of financial information. And, you know, the book's Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, he talks about what lessons were you taught as a kid? You know, money doesn't grow on trees, you know, that kind of stuff. It's a scarcity mindset around money. Just a lot of those simple things that you taught yourself, and it ingrained your thinking about money, where if you think of it more from an abundance mentality versus a scarcity mentality, it just changes the way you think. And so instilling those lessons on your daughters, and I'm working on that with our sons too, it takes time, but that's going to really help them in the yeah. future versus thinking about how they spend their time and in what they do with money.
Absolutely, Mike. You got to start early with the kids. And for most of us, man, it may take months or years to unlearn everything that we think we know about money and freedom.
Right.
Yeah, like when you look at the industrial age, you know, and most of all of our, probably everybody who is listening, all of our parents grew up in industrial age, and you know, we were byproducts of our environment, and we were obviously, you know, we were surrounded by our parents at their early ages, and so we learn a lot from them, but they learned from somebody who was really entrenched or at the start of industrial age. So like, think about, you know, how most people think, not even, I almost said used to think, no, think, it's get good or go to school, get good grades, get, you know, go to college, get good grades, get a job, work at a job for 20 or 30 years, do good, you know, take care of your company, and then the company will take care of you through pension. Yeah. And by the way, it's no surprise that so many people right now are expecting somebody else to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we don't live in that age anymore, dude.
Yeah.
We just
done a lot of companies. They've, you know, it's gone south. Times have changed. Technologies have changed. And, you know, that pension that's there that they thought they were getting, they're not going to get. And all of a sudden you look up and it's like, well, I was taught to do that so that they gave it back to me in the end. And that's not going to happen.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so, when you have companies like GM and other huge ones, you know, going under, declaring bankruptcy, and pensions are getting wiped out. And this is like a really, really old news, really old news. Right. And it's right now, it's we as human beings, especially those living in the United States, like we have to rethink what does your life look like and whose life are you living? Mm-hmm. Is it yours or is it your parents? And is it, and which one do you want?
Right.
Which one do you want?
Yeah. So as you think back then, you know, about your journey, is there any advice that you'd have, say somebody, you know, I think we've probably sprinkled in a lot of advice throughout this conversation here, but, you know, somebody looking to get into real estate, somebody looking to, at the opportunity, how many people get into real estate? And it doesn't have to be an agent, it could be, you know, a lender or other areas of real estate, because they think unlimited income, you know, make tons of money and not have to spend any time on it. What advice would you give for those folks considering a career in the real estate industry?
Oh my God. Probably the biggest thing, Mike, that I would give anybody is put yourself in the biggest conversation possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The biggest conversation that appeals to you. So find like-minded individuals who are after the same thing that you're after. Okay. If you're about winning awards and getting trophies and getting medals, there's nothing wrong with that. That's really great. Okay. Go find a crew or a brokerage or a team that's all about that. Mm-hmm. If you're into passive income, if you're into these types of conversations, go find somebody who is into these types of conversations, either locally or nationally. Now, you know, in COVID and you know, the Zoom world. Mm-hmm. So put yourself into that type of conversation. If you're brand new into real estate, you may want to join a team that has that conversation that you have an affinity for. And it's keep surrounding yourself with people who have more, who think bigger, so that pulls you. You grow into the conversations people have around you.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. And then the second thing is focus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third, and it's kind of like 2A, but I'll just call it third, is do not underestimate the power of compounding growth. The number one secret in finance is compounding interest. Those are the three things that just came to mind.
Yeah. And realize the investment in yourself will pay off in the future.
Oh, yeah.
You know, an investment in yourself will 2x your income more so than investing in something else. The best thing you can invest in is your mind and your education.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Keep like surround yourself. Like the way I did it, like the way I knew that I was ready for the next level of growth is I showed up in the training event and I realized that I was thinking way too small. And it was me investing money to go to a training event and then seeing the conversation that sent around me. I was like, okay, let's grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if folks, if this story resonates or they've got some questions for you, what would be a way for them to get a hold of you?
Just go to vladkatz.com. Mm-hmm. Vladkatz.com. That's it. Or awesome. Find me on, you know, this, I'm a member of this really, you know, small website, and I'm not sure if many people have heard Facebook. So, I'm just messing. Yeah, like, or find me on Facebook.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time and sharing your wisdom with others. And for those of you listening, hopefully it something sank in, and you know, take some time and think about how you spend your time and what you're doing, and ultimately putting together a plan of what you want to get out of it. But yeah, feel free to reach out to Vlad if you have any questions. And thanks so much for being on this episode.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Mike.